Bible this morning, the book of Acts, chapter number 3. The book of Acts, chapter number 3. Well, Acts 3 now, Pentecost has come. The Holy Ghost has presented Himself to a lost and a dying world in Acts 2. Matter of fact, He came by and set upon them as fire. Now they, some boys, got together after the day of Pentecost and they've headed to church. The Bible said, now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, and give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and scared the Baptist half to death. And walked and entered, I like this, with them into the temple. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Thank you for standing this morning. You may be seated. Father, I pray these few minutes now, God, would you get the honor and the glory out of everything? Dear God, I don't want to say one thing you wouldn't have me to say today, but would you draw a sinner to you? God, would you save a soul this morning? Would you help us in our lives, our homes, and our hearts, and in this church today? Help us now. We'll be grateful. Let us be a blessing to you people. Send the Holy Ghost, Lord, upon your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach a little while this morning on the house of God. And I want you to see three things. First of all, in this passage, there is the beauty of the house. And then there's some business at the house. And then there are some benefits at the house. Now, first of all, I want to say the beauty of God's house. In verse 2, you'll note there is an appearance. He said, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask an alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, it ought to be a beautiful place. Amen. God's house ought to be the nicest house in town. I mean, it has a beautiful gate. I thank God there's some places in town that glorifies God. And he said it is a beautiful gate. The beauty of God's house. But I want to get in quickly on the business of God's house. What is the business down at God's house? A lot of folks run into church like a business. I want to say it's not a business, but it has some business. See, we've got, first of all, there's some times of business. The Bible said they came at the hour of prayer. Well, that hour is the ninth hour. It was 3 o'clock in the evening, the times of business. And then there's a task of business. Said they came to pray. Have you prayed today? I mean, really, did you pray before you got down here? Did you pray and say, God, give that preacher something to say I need to hear this morning? God, as a singer, sing. Would you give them something to sing that I need to hear today? Oh, my goodness. The task of the business is praying, preaching. But then I like the togetherness of God's business. In verse 1, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Thank God for togetherness. Amen. And then in verse 2, note this. There's a trust of the business. Somebody laid somebody down where they thought they could get some help. They didn't lay them down yonder to Piggly Wiggly. They didn't lay them down yonder to Western Auto, honey. They brought them to the house of God and set them down and said, surely you can get some help down there. Surely you can get some help down here. You ought to thank God for somebody that brought you by the gate one day and set you down so you could get some help in this lost and this old dying world. My goodness, we see this business, we see the time and the task, the togetherness, but the trust they laid daily. And then I like this verse 3. There's the testimony of business. Who seeing Peter and John about to go in. Somebody's watching you, friend. Somebody's watching me. Don't tell me it don't matter, preacher, how I'm a living, because I'm only affecting myself. That's a lie. Somebody watching you. And if you proclaim to know the name of Christ, somebody's watching what you're doing. They're watching where you're going and what you say. And I'm telling you nothing, they're watching what you're wearing too. We forgot about that in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. But I want to say this today. There's the testimony of business. But then look in verse 6, there's the talents of God's business. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. You ain't got to worry about what anybody else has got. You ought to be worried about what you got. What can you do to be a blessing? But such as I have. You say, preacher, I ain't got a lot. You may have more than you think. When this man stood and testified, and this man stood and testified, they helped me this morning. When this man stood and sung, he helped me this morning. But such as I have, give I thee. I wonder what you got you could give to somebody else. My goodness, the talents of God's business. You know something? God uses people to be a blessing. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants you to be a blessing. You say, well, preacher, I can't do nothing. Oh, you can do a lot. What kind of talents does God give you? It may be simply a handshake. It may simply be to come and pray when the preacher's praying or preaching. It may simply be doing something that you think's not real important. But what kind of talent has God give you? I'm glad Brother Chris uses his talent here instead of in a nightclub. And so they said this about God's business. They said, such as I have, give I thee the talent. But then, I like this in verse 6. There's the truth of God's business. He says, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's no name like His name. There's one name given unto men whereby they must be saved. Matter of fact, in Acts 4 and 12, be it in 10, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel. And by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Here it is, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Young person, this is for you. This is what the Spirit of God is telling your preacher this morning. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The truth of God's business. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You know, in my spirit, I feel like there's several here this morning that the time is right. I believe the Spirit of God has got you here under conviction, and He's wanting to do a work in your heart, but you're going to have to move out of that pew by faith and trust what He's done for you on an old rugged cross. He said, there's no other name given unto men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the way. He's not some way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to ask you the truth of God's business. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves sinners? You know, not many Baptists love sinners. They love sin, but they don't love many sinners. Boy, aren't you glad that you know about this Jesus that loves you and would save you? Now, in this passage of Scripture about this house of God, there's a beauty of God's house. It ought to be nice. There's a business of God's house. But then, lastly, there's some benefits at God's house. What kind of benefits are at God? What could you get here that you can't get no place else? What can you get here that you can't get in a schoolhouse? What can you get here you can't get on a golf course or a tree stand? What can you get here you can't get in a bass boat? What can you get here that you can't get out yonder in the world this morning? Well, I want to say, first of all, there's essential benefits. There's essential benefits of prayer, praise, and worship. You say, well, preacher, I can do that outside. Yeah, that's right, but ain't nothing like getting the saints of God together, praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done for us. Nothing will never take that place in our life. Nothing. Nothing. And then I want to say, these benefits, not only are they essential benefits, they're enjoyable benefits. I enjoy going to church here. I enjoy the people here. I enjoy the young'uns here. I mean, thank the Lord this isn't a place you walk in and people's too good to greet you. Thank the Lord that we think just because our building look like the Presbyterians, we ain't got to act like the Presbyterians. Amen. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, honey, oh, the benefits are enjoyable. I'm glad I can enjoy Jesus today. Listen, young person, you say, well, if I get saved, I'll be a stick in the mud and nobody else will like me. The right people are like you. As long as I had their weed and everything else they wanted and a boat full of gas, the phone rung off the hook of the wrong crowd. When I got saved, the right crowd showed up. And boy, now I'm glad the benefits are very enjoyable. Matter of fact, you ought to enjoy coming to church. You ought to look forward to coming to church and not be a drag and not be so boring. Ought not be a dread. You ought to enjoy coming to God's house. My goodness, these benefits are essential. They're enjoyable. And then I want to say they are exclusive benefits. No other place can you go except the house of God and experience God's presence only like here. It's just something about God's people getting together in a worship service and God's presence is in the midst. And now, I want to say, also, not only exclusive benefits, but they are eternal benefits. Some of you have had some eternal benefits because you come to the house of God. I thank the Lord somebody brought me to the right place one day where I could get some help. And by the way, Liberty Baptist Church, there's a lot of people brought people here today because they thought maybe they could get some help. We got to do our part, and then Jesus will always do His part. My goodness, then, not only eternal benefits, but there are evident benefits. Evident benefits. I want to say there's evident benefits that my family's been benefited for coming to God's house. I don't know if you noticed or not, but this little child come up and prayed with my wife and that other sister a while ago. Three, four years old? Don't you think the family's been benefited for getting them around the old paths? Don't you think the families have been benefited for being in God's house where His presence is? Eternal benefits. Essential benefit. It benefits our family and it benefits our faith. Your faith ought to be stronger today because you come to God's house. Your faith ought to be increased by coming here and the preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith ought to be increased around God's house. Thank God I've had some eternal benefits for my family and my faith. And then I want to say, for my friends. I'm glad I can bring my friends to the house of God and hear the Word of God and experience the presence of the Spirit of God. Oh, I thank the Lord for God's house this morning. Now, I want to say this, and I don't know if we're going any further. This is a real unusual service. But I want Miss Sherry to come, and I want her to play on this piano this morning. I want to ask somebody something in their heart today. I believe with all my heart, really, today, all I need to do is just back off and get out of the way, and that's what I'm fixing to do. No sense in me trying to go through a routine. No sense in me trying to impress nobody with an outline. I believe this with all my heart. God is a wanting to do a work in somebody's life here this morning. I mean, it's just like, fellas, every step I try to take and preach this morning, the Holy Ghost saying, back off, let me do it. Holy Ghost, it's yours. Holy Ghost, it's your service. You know the homes here that need to be touched. You know the hearts that need to be touched. You know the lives that need to be touched. Dear God, You know what we need. I want to tell you today, sinner, Jesus died for you. Amen. And if you're wanting power in your life, if you'll come and accept the Lord Jesus, He says the Spirit of God will come live in you and lead and guide you into all truth. I didn't want to be doing what I used to do. But I had no power inside me, Brother Adam, to break that chain and that bondage of sin that had me so tightly held.